praise God, I'm on my way. Yes, I'm on my way.
I'm on my way.
Up to Canaan's land.
To Canaan's land.
I'm on my way.
To Canaan's land.
I'm on my way. God, I'm on my way. I want you to sing it. I'm on my way.
I'm on my way.
Up to Canaan's land.
To Canaan's land.
I'm on my way.
On my way.
Canaan's land.
To Canaan's land.
I'm on my way.
Won't hinder me if you don't go. It won't hinder me if you don't go. It won't hinder me. I'm on my way. Praise God, I'm on my way.
Oh, let's sing it to him. Yes, I'm on my way. Up to Canaan's land.
Brother, don't go. I'll journey on. If my brother don't go, I'll journey on.
Oh, sing it to him, church.
If my brother don't go, I gotta journey on.
Tonight, are you on your way? And we're having a pretty good time getting there too, aren't we? Did you enjoy service here Wednesday night? Wasn't the word of the Lord precious? That ship's going to get to Rome. It's on its way. Praise the Lord. Why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand? Greet them in the name of the Lord tonight. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord on Saturday night. What a privilege it is. Play some more of that, guys. Let's sing it one more time. We're on our way. We're going to Canaan's land. We're on our way. We're going to Canaan's land. We're on our way. Going to Canaan's land. We're on our way. Praise God. On my way.
If my sister don't go, won't hinder me. My sister don't go, won't hinder me. If my sister don't go, won't hinder me. I'm on my way, praise God. Hey!
and Hank, I'm a praise. We love you with all your heart tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. So good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, isn't it? What a privilege to get to come to the house of the Lord on Saturday night. We've got several prayer requests. Brother Gene, God bless you. Footsteps is possession, buddy. And you're doing great. We appreciate Brother Gene, don't we? Bless his heart. Amen. God bless our brother tonight. Praise the Lord. If you'd like to be seated while we look at our prayer requests tonight, we've got several things we want to let you know about. Sister Michelle Swafford says to please pray for my dad, Gary Emanuel. He is having tests done on his heart. Also pray for her niece, Penelope Luna, for her kidneys. So we want to remember those needs tonight as we pray. The Lewis Angel Human, I hope I got that name close to right. Homan. Anyway, he's from the Lima, Peru. He says, dear brethren at Happy Valley Church, we are reporting a seismic swarm, which is a series of localized earthquakes. Please keep us in your prayers. Our city is under a serious alert to the possible imminent coming of a huge earthquake. Please pray for us. Lord, bless you richly. So we certainly want to pray for that brother and the assembly, the believers there, that country, Lima, Peru, that the Lord would just be mindful of those folks tonight. How many of you know God's able to take care of their situation? We believe that, don't we? Brother Randy Scott sends this in to please pray for my friend, Richie's father. His name is Richard. He has been diagnosed with a syndrome. I won't be able to pronounce that, but it's a syndrome. He has been very sick. He was in the hospital for 9 days, came home for a few days, and now he's back in the hospital again with a severe infection in his leg. Also pray for Rich. This is really taking a toll on him, seeing his father hurt like this. We just want to thank the Lord for being so good to us. That's Brother Randy Scott. So we pray for those folks, those needs, that the Lord would be mindful of them. I want to pray for Emma and Leah Parker. They're not feeling well tonight, so let's remember those little girls as we pray. Sister Chevy wants us to remember Brother Charlie Therese has flu symptoms, so let's remember Brother Charlie in prayer tonight. Now, this is a letter. I'm going to take the time to read it because this is some of our loyal streamers down in Georgia. Attached is a letter that we would like for Brother Louis to read to the church. It is attached, and so this is what the letter says. This is from Brother Russ and Sister Judith Berry, and this is addressed to the Happy Valley Church. Brother Louis and Saints, greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Russ and I are streamers from down here in Georgia. Every service, we are there with you in spirit. Churches are far and few between. However, when we drive to Johnson City, we do pass hundreds of church buildings. And yes, neighbors ask, you all drive all the way to Tennessee for church? I can only imagine what they're thinking. But we have always traveled long distances to church these past 35 years. It is a sacrifice we gladly have made. However, age and health have made it difficult for traveling. For weeks, I believe the Holy Spirit was leading me to write to you all, but I let the world get in the way, let life get in the way. Then Brother Donnie spoke on encouragement to others last Wednesday. I knew it was time to obey the leading of the Spirit. Streaming is a godsend for us. We want to thank each and every one of you who attend service at Happy Valley Church, from our pastor all the way down to the people who sit on the back pew. We are blessed with Brother Donnie, the musicians, and you, Brother Louis, special singers, deacons. But I must say, our favorites are those awesome brothers who sit behind the scenes enabling us to stream. Brothers, God bless you in the upstairs or wherever you're at tonight, back here. God bless those brethren. We feel like Paul seeking out the brethren, the ones who make the streaming possible. We would like to encourage them with our prayers and thanks. They may be out of sight, but we know they are there. Enjoy your home church. What a blessing it is for you to be in each service. It's worth every mile to attend the house of the Lord to feast at the
praise the Lord, at his table together. God bless you. We love and appreciate each and every one of you, your brother and sisters through Christ our Lord, Russ and Judith Berry. Give those folks a nice hand tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, that's folks that would love to be here, unable to be here, but the streaming makes it possible for them to be part of the service. And not only this couple, but hundreds and thousands around the world get to enjoy these services. What a privileged people you and I are. What a privileged people you and I are to get to be here in these services. And I know you're thankful for that. I really do. Please pray for Philip Woodfin. He's home with a sore throat, so let's remember that need tonight. Brother Ben Potter's dad passed away. Now, Ben is the son-in-law of Brother Wes Willis, married to Emily. Please remember the family as his father passed away, so let's remember that need tonight. Sister Janet Payne says to please pray for my son, Brian Payne. He hurt his arm very bad, had to have surgery, but mostly he needs God in his life, so let's remember that need tonight. Sister Estep says, I want to thank the Lord for healing me of a stomach virus. Also pray for Brenda Harmon with a sinus headache, so let's remember that need tonight. Also, Brother Randy Walton, we love Brother Randy Walton here tonight, don't we? He wants to thank all of you during the passing of my mother, all the cards, the calls, the food, the flowers. Thank you so much. God bless you all. Again, thank you, Brother Randy Walton. So let's continue to remember that family in prayer, Brother Randy, and those folks, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. Also, all the ones that have suffered losses, their families, we know they're still suffering. They're still grieving. So let's remember those folks tonight. We want to welcome someone to the service tonight. We would like to welcome Sister Cinda Shea Prinsloo from South Africa. She was in our service tonight. She was here on Wednesday, but no one knew it. She and her family live streamed our services, and she wanted to see it in person. Where would that sister be? Would you just raise your hand tonight wherever you're at? Give them a nice hand tonight. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Certainly appreciate you getting to be in the service. Certainly appreciate all of you getting to be in the service tonight. All those that are sick and can't make it, may God bless them. Let them receive their healing. If you have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, you believe we're serving a prayer answering God, do you believe it with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. Could we stand together tonight? We just commit these things unto the Lord. Brother Rob, come tonight if you would. Pray over these prayer requests. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord. Certainly appreciate Brother Rob Weber, don't we? God bless you, my buddy.
Let's pray over these prayer requests. Father, once again, we come before you. We come before you with thankful hearts. Lord, as the letter spoke, how blessed we are as a people to be able to hear the things of God so many times behind this pulpit. So many times you are so faithful to come to this place, Lord, and speak the things of heaven, Lord, to our hearts. We're thankful, Lord, a thankful people, Lord, but we are human and we go about the day, and this is the best part of our day, as was spoken last week. And I thank you, Lord, for the requests that are made. I thank you for the streamers out wherever they may be across the world. How blessed we are, and help us to never take that for granted, Lord God. This could be taken in a moment, and I thank you for each and every service, Lord, that you've spoken to my heart and the hearts of my brothers and sisters. I pray, Lord God, for the people, Lord, that wrote down these requests. I pray for their revelation to strike the point and the level to receive their healing. I thank you, Lord, for grace, Lord, that saturated our souls and made us more like you day by day, as we see in ourselves and we see in our brethren. I thank you, Lord. Let the word have free course and make us responsible this night, Lord, that we can create an atmosphere, Lord, that you can come and have your way. Do what you want to do this night, Lord, I pray. Help us to be obedient to the will of your perfect will, and the token being applied to the prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Rob. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. You're visiting with us in the service tonight. We certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that will be streaming the service tonight, may God bless those folks as well. Can we say it together? God bless our streamers. God bless our streamers. Give them a nice hand tonight, if you will. Praise the Lord. And I just want to thank you, Lord.
Sing it now. And I just want to thank you, Lord, for letting me hear your word.
What have I done to deserve such glory revealed in me? Thanks for that special night when I saw your glorious light. Came face to face with eternal life.
And Lord, I thank thee. Sing it again. Oh, and I just want to thank you, Lord, for letting me hear your word.
What have I done
to deserve this glory revealed to me?
Thanks for that special night when I saw this glorious light. Came face to face with eternal life. Lord, I thank thee.
Thank the Lord. Amen. Let's sing a little chorus, to that song. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe God is calling tonight, don't you? Certainly do. Let's see if we can sing that tonight. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Go down defeated while victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Oh, get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated while victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name.
At the gate called Beautiful, they're laid out in the street. A poor lonely beggar was crippled in his feet.
John and Peter passed him, they saw his knee was bad. They had no gold nor silver, but they gave him what they had. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated, our victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Days which we live in, there's evil everywhere. The body seems discouraged and overcome with fear. Oh, but but God is wanting soldiers to get out of those pews and to take a hold of the power that John and Peter knew.
Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Our Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated, a victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name.
The days in which we live in, there's evil everywhere. The body gets discouraged and overcome with fear. Oh, but God is wanting soldiers to get out of your pews and to take a hold of the power that John and Peter gave.
Get up, yes, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Our Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated, for victory's here to claim. Get up, get up,
get up, get up.
Bless you. You can be seated tonight. Sister Tamika, if you'd come, be getting ready to sing for us tonight. Ever how you have that worked out. Let's sing that little chorus together. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. As she comes to sing for us tonight, let's sing this little chorus together. Victory is mine. I believe that today, don't you? I certainly do believe that. You know, just thinking about Brother Fred's grandmother, I believe it is, that's very sick at this time. But just thinking about her today, I'm sitting back in this area right here. I always can hear her praying, Brother Fred, during this service. If Brother Donnie's preaching, she's praying, praying, praying for the pastor. Just touch my heart, because I know she's a faithful sister in the Lord Jesus. Brother Fred, I just wanted to give her a rose tonight. I know she's very sick, but we love her with all of our heart. I want you to tell her that this assembly loves. We love your grandmother, buddy. God bless her little heart. I know she's up here getting ready to sing, but let's sing this little chorus tonight. Victory is ours. Brother Donnie sung that chorus here Wednesday night. We're going to make it, church. In spite of what you think about you, if God foreknew you and ordained you to eternal life, you are going to make it. Do you believe that with all your heart? Give him a big hand clap of praise tonight in the house of the Lord. Victory is mine, victory is mine, victory today is mine. Oh, now I told Satan, get thee behind, victory today is mine. Oh, now joy is mine, joy is mine, joy. Sister Tamika, a nice hand tonight as she sings for us.
And though I can't touch gravity, unspeakable joy that makes my faith to stand. Lord, I believe in you. I'll always believe in you. Though I can't see you with my eyes, deep in my heart, your presence I find. Lord, I believe in you, and I'll keep my trust in you. Let this whole world say what they may, no one can take this joy away. Lord, I believe. Down from above, you are God's only chosen. You are the one and only true way to the Father's heart. You died for my sins, but then you rose and now live again, conquering grave, so that I might live. Lord, I believe in you. I'll always believe in you. Though I can't see you with my eyes,
This is a new song to all of us. So, but if you've heard it, you help me sing it. And after you sing it, then pray it and really mean it. If I can get started, if Brother Larry Strife.
This yearning deep within me reaches out to you. Your oil of joy for mourning soaks me, makes me new, and I secret place, bow my knee to your glorious throne. Have your way in my heart, oh Lord. Have your way, and I will go to your secret place. Bow my knee to your glorious throne. Have your way in my heart, oh, have your way. I need you, Holy Spirit. Fire to my soul, please consume my total being. Oh, Jesus, take control, and I will go to your secret place. Bow my knee.
Sing it together. Thank you, Lord God.
And I will go to your secret place.
Second verse. I need you, Holy Spirit. Fire to my soul. What do you want him to do? Consume my total being. Lord Jesus, won't you take control? And I will go secret place, bow my knee to your glorious throne. Have your way in my heart, oh Lord. Have your way. Amen. Oh, I will go to your secret place. Bow my Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Once again, before we read the word. For learning that. They didn't know they was going to play that this weekend or yesterday. I appreciate them doing all that effort, don't you? Maybe it's because I'm just a little bit different, but I get kind of nervous being alone with a lot of people. Maybe it's because of things that happened to me when I was a child. But being alone with a lot of people makes me scared and nervous and all that. Many of you can probably relate to it. But I have to say, I love being alone with the Lord Jesus. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, it's not that I don't get nervous, but it's nervous because of His greatness and His holiness, how wonderful that He is. I love being with Him myself. If you're a Christian tonight, I believe you feel the same way. There's nothing any more precious than being in the presence of God. Amen. Let's turn tonight to the Song of Solomon, if you would. Chapter 4, verse 10. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. You mean he's talking about me and you? He's talking about our love back to him is even greater than angelic love? How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices? Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon, which of course is cedar. The cross. Glory. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. He rejoices in that his bride is a virgin. A garden locked up, a spring enclosed, and a fountain sealed. Adam couldn't say this long about his wife. But Jesus has been able to say it about his for 2,000 years. Because he's had an elect down through every age. Chapter 5, verse 1. I am coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh and my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. Amen. How many would like to be remembered tonight before we pray? Heavenly Father, as we have been beckoned into the secret place of the Most High, Lord Jesus, we count it such an honor that you would invite us into your sacred holy courts. And there in that secret place, you will whisper to us the love secrets which are made known only to your elect. Dear God, we so love you with all of our souls. We ask tonight for your help in this service. You saw the hands that were uplifted, Lord. You see these prayer cloths that I have in my hand, Lord, that I'm going to wear as I speak your word tonight. Lord, our sister Jolly up in New York, you see this demon that's attacked her body. But we're believing you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, for your healing and deliverance for her, Lord. Father, also, Sister Janet Payne has this prayer cloth for her son. Dear God, you see his need. You see the situation. Father, may you move for him. Lord, no doubt there's others here that don't have a prayer cloth, yet they have a need. People that are streaming the service tonight, Father, and they're so needy of you. Oh, they'd love to be sitting here tonight if they could, but because of transportation or means financially or whatever more, they just can't do it. But Lord God, they're gathered around their little iPhone or their computer or whatever it is, Father. We just ask in the name of Jesus, you'd go right there, dear God, wherever they are. May you bring healing and strength and encouragement, whatever they have need of. Then, Father, we ask that you'd be mindful of those that have gathered here tonight, Father. May you help us, Lord, as we look into your word. Speak to our hearts once again, dear God, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let's read again chapter 5, verse 1. I am coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. She has now arrived to a threefold part of the mystery of God. Except now, it's not in the life of Christ. It's in her life. Before she come to this place, he could call her his beloved. He could say she was precious. She was various adjectives that he could describe her by. But now the wedding has been consummated. So he places her in a spiritual category of three unfoldings of his love in her life. Not one of these things is she worthy of. Not one of these things has she done that she would be able to bow or say, well, I did this, and because I did this, then I got that. It is purely the grace of God. So he first says, I am come into my garden. Now chapter 4, verse 16, she offers herself to him, and she beckons the north wind and the south wind to come, as we've already looked at that, and to come and blow the spices out of her life, the God-given virtues that he has produced in her by the Holy Ghost, and she gives everything that she is. So the chapter 4 closes out with the offering of the sacrifice of herself to him. Now he accepts that offering. He accepts it, and by the acceptance of that, the consummation of the marriage now takes place. After the consummation, this is his reply. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. Now each of these have a different meaning with a different qualification and classification as well, but they all are speaking about the same person. Now I want you to notice that it is his great personal presence that is being identified with her. Immediately after she asks, come into my garden, eat of the pleasant fruits, partake of this and eat of that, and enjoy who I am by your great working, then his response is, immediately, I am come. Now, it did not take him 40 days and 40 nights, but it was an immediate response of the personal presence presence of Christ. Now listen to me carefully. This is what I hope that God will help each of us to understand. What He wants to be in our lives is this personal presence of Christ Himself. Now, it is not the coming of the Lord Jesus in the sense that every eye will see Him and the whole earth will bow their knee. I'm not talking about that. But it is a different coming in the Greek word. It is the personal presence of Christ coming to you as an individual. It is not a group coming. It is not the rapture that we're talking about. It is not the second coming of the Lord. But it is that personal presence of the Lord Jesus of making Himself known to you. Now, notice how I respond to her. This is not the literal second coming, but it is His own personal presence that has come. And He says, I am come into my garden. So His presence has now arrived and He declares it. And where is the presence? It is inside the garden. Now this is where the presence is. This is the location that He identifies where He has come to. So the garden itself is a place. It is a location. It is a sanctified, hallowed spot that is set aside, and she invited Him into that spot, and He responds and says, I am come into my garden. Now this is the spot where He is. He also takes the relationship deeper. Now He says, I have come into you. You are my garden, but you are also my sister, because we are blood kin. You are bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. You are life of my life. You have become me. So we are of the same family. Well, glory to God. Let me just point you in this direction for a moment. Whenever the Lord opened up the side of Adam and took the rib out of his side. Now, whatever color or race that you want to believe that Adam was, that's entirely up to you. The word Adam actually means red. So whether or not we'll say that Adam was taken out of dust of the earth, and the pigmentation of that dust would have been somewhat of a red tint. And God would have made him, since the name being Adam means red, and God would have made his flesh in that he was not so much a white man or so much a black man, but more one with a pigmentation that would lean him toward being a red man. Now, if God then made this man out of the dust of the earth, then God is going to bring his wife out of his own body. You agree with that? Now, when God opens up the side of Adam in the rib, as we looked at it some time back, in the rib contains everything that he would be able to need to make the body out of. What type of woman then would she have been? If Adam, we will say, was a red man, then what kind of a woman would Eve have been? In order to have been the same DNA, in order to have had the same molecular structure, now she was not a hybrid in that sense, but she was out of his body. So if Adam was a red man, then what kind of a woman do you figure that Eve was? Well, if she'd been white or pink or purple or yellow, green or lime or something like that, you said there ain't no way she come out of him, because an exact reproduction of his DNA, because now they're not being born by a mixture of a mother and a father, by which the 23 chromosomes mix together and make them, but it is a reproduction of what he was. So if Adam was a white man, then out of him would have come what kind of woman? If Adam would have been a black man, what kind of woman would have come out of him? She would have been pink polka dotted and green stripes. That would have been totally impossible. Now, out of Christ then, when God brings a bride out of Christ, out of his spiritual DNA, then it is not Christ mixing with the church. It's not 23 chromosomes from Christ and 23 chromosomes from a denomination, and then that brings together and gives you a new birth. It is Christ alone. I said it is Christ alone. So then if God takes out of Christ and he makes out of Christ a bride, what kind of a woman will she be? Well, if Christ is the Word, she'll have to be the Word. If Christ is deity, she will have to be deity. If Christ is holy, she'll have to be, right?
Why? Because where she came from. It has nothing to do with your natural birth. It has nothing to do with your mother and your father, your background. Listen to me carefully. It has nothing to do with the sins that you sinned before you got converted. It has nothing to do, it has nothing to do with, my daddy was this and my mama was that. Whether they were good or bad, it has nothing to do with the genetics of your soul. Because the genetics of your soul does not come from a family tree. It comes from a godly tree, which was out of the original Garden of Eden, which was the tree of life. Now, out of her, the Shulamite now has been matched up. Remember now, she's not the only wife that Solomon would have had. The Song of Solomon was written apparently early in the years of his administration as king. So he had not married all these heathen women and got off as far as he did in the last. So this was earlier in, but it was a time that Solomon had more than one wife. But she was the most precious. She was the most sacred. She was above all the others, and his love for her, without a shadow of a doubt, was detectable by everyone that was around them, that she was his favorite. Well, I think we all want to feel like that in one degree, don't we? Don't you want to feel like you've got a special attention in God's eyes? Do you want to be a number? Number 385,000, please stand up. Number 385,247, will you please stand up? I don't want to serve a God like that. I want to serve a God that can have all kinds of youngins and yet make every one of them feel like they're an only child. And I believe that he can do that. And he can be able to disperse his love in such a way that it is absolutely pure and holy. Now, looking at her then, she is his garden in that she has now received the impartation of his life. She is also his sister, by which she come from him, as Rebekah was part of Isaac's family, as Abraham married, of course, his half-sister, so the Lord Jesus married his sister, because they come from the same Father God. Now, in the beginning was the eternal, of course. When we go back beyond time, it was the eternal, before there was time, but in the beginning was the Word. So when it come from the eternal to when time began, then that's when God started forming himself towards flesh in a theophany body. We know that we have one there as well. And God, of course, did not make them and have any spare ones or extra ones. He won't come up short and say, my goodness, I'm three theophanies short. I wish I'd know that he's going to be saved. He knows who'd be saved before the foundation of the world. He's got, you know what? Heaven ain't currently under an expansion mode, because God didn't know that so many more was going to be saved. He could build heaven exactly the right size before Jesus ever died on the cross, if he so wished to do it. The theophany bodies were already there, a part of him being the Word. There won't be five left over. There won't be five short. There'll be just exactly enough, because he knows who will need them, because they were in him before they ever become expressed in time. Amen. I hope y'all come to have church tonight, because I sure did. Now, she is the place, the spot, the recipient of his seed life. That makes her the garden. This is part of her vocation. She is also his sister. This identifies her as being part of the family of God. She is not part of the family of God because she goes to Happy Valley, because she streams this man's service or that man, or she pays her tithes regularly. Has nothing to do with it. You were part of that before you ever paid one penny of tithes. You were that before you ever started attending Happy Valley Church. It is because of your genetic pool. You see, where you come from actually determines your destiny. It's not that you're here in time and that God looked down through time and said, well, you'll choose me and you won't and you won't. No, it's where you come from that determined your destiny, not what you're going to do down here that's going to lead you back there. You were already there as a thought in his mind before the foundation of the world. For those whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And the church said, amen. That's exactly right. So she is his sister. Now, this is by bloodline, of course, and by relationship. And that's why Brother Rand could make the astounding statement that the church is the blood of Jesus Christ by the Spirit, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost that baptizes you into the body. Can you imagine what a statement? The church is the blood of Jesus Christ by the Spirit, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What is it? It's the token lot. Now, Luther had a part. Wesley had a part. Are they going to be there in the resurrection? They are. You know, if we keep it in the analogy the way Brother Branham made it, it's like horsepower. Now, years and years ago, whenever man first figured out how to tame horses and ride them and donkeys and mules and so on, and they had basically one horsepower. Well, then somebody got in their mind, if they'd make a team, a pair, they would have double horses. So then they started pulling two. Then somebody else thought, well, what about four? What about six? Each horse you add, it increases the horsepower, right? Now, in the days of Luther, of course, it was the same way as science has progressed, so has the gospel. So they started out with very small horsepower, and then God increased it as it came out under justification. Then when it come from there to sanctification, he added more horses to the power. Then when it come from sanctification to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he added more horses to the power. But you know what? You needed rapturing power. You needed more horses than any other age. Will Luther be there? Will Wesley be there? Yes, they will. They will be there in the anointed part of the horsepower that God gave them. Now, you can imagine those who started out years and years ago with an old Ford car, had about 18 to 25 horsepower, something like that. Why? There's no way in the world that thing would be able to pull the loads that we do today. And yet, you see people driving them around, and they're an old antique, and they're a relic, and they're very expensive, and you know, all that, very nice to look at, but you wouldn't want to put a big boat behind it or a trailer and towed it down the road. Why? It won't have the power. Neither can a Lutheran live under that Reformation power, live a godly life in this day. You understand? Why? They're still trying to take their old Model A and they're out there cranking it up and cranking it up. What's wrong with some of you when you come to the house of God and you need to be all cranked up? You want Brother Louie to get out here on the front and go to crank it. Come on now, saints. Let's get with it now. Crank her up there, Brother Louie. Let's get us all happy and get us shouting really good. You need to walk in that door cranked. You need to spend a little time in prayer. Well, you say, I got everything on my mind. This altar's open every service before we ever open up. Kneel down there at your pew. Walk up here and kneel down and spend a little time in the secret place with God so that jet engine inside of you can propel your faith and your revelation in a sphere that most people in this world have never even understood or comprehended. She is his garden. She is his spouse. His sister, rather. She is his spouse. His wife. His beloved. His lover. His queen. Praise God. Will the foolish virgins be saved? Of course they will. But they're not his lover. Jesus is not an adulterer nor a fornicator. His lover is his wife. Jesus don't have girlfriends. And real Christian married men don't have girlfriends outside of their wife. Either text girlfriends or picture girlfriends, their heart belongs to one. Well, come on, don't get quiet on me now. I know a lot of men love to go around and hugging on the women, and oh, it's just the love of God. Don't you tell me that nonsense. Prophet of God said a man cannot take a woman in his arms and hug on her without a sensation going through it. I don't like that. Don't really care. Never ask if you did. That's what he said anyhow. I'll preach it with or without your amens. Pout on me if you want to. Stick out your upper lip and your bottom lip. Do whatever you want. It's still the message of the hour. Amen. Jesus is not a flirter. Jesus will heal the sick out yonder. He'll save the lost. Sure he will. But his only love is to the elect. That ain't fair. Well, you want to tell me that ain't fair? And you men that love your wives tonight, your only love is to her? You tell me that ain't fair? What if 50 other women want to be your lover? What if 40 other women want to be able to have their picture taken with you and you be their boyfriend? I'll tell you one thing. If you love that woman right, you'll set them in their place and you'll say, my heart belongs to one woman. Amen. That's the way it is with the Lord Jesus. His heart belongs to one woman, and that is the bride, which was his. Amen. She is his garden. She is his sister. She is his spouse. Now what she says, I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh. Notice how he possesses every one of these things and claims them as his own. I have gathered my myrrh. with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. It's amazing because she just offered this to him and called it hers. Glory to God. But now he's claiming it his. Why? She gave it over to him. She belongs to him. He wants your time. He wants your mind. He wants your body. He wants your spirit. What do you want to do? You want to keep it and call it yours? Or give it over to him and let him call it his? Which is the greatest honor? Which is the greatest thing for me to say, my gift, my talent, my, or give all that over to the Lord Jesus and say it's no longer mine. And then the Lord Jesus saying, Donnie's gift is mine. Donnie's talent is mine. Donnie's ability to preach is all children. Listen to me. As long as we're holding on to it as our own, he can never have complete control. Oh my. Lord Jesus, he says, I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, oh friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, oh beloved. Notice with me in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 30. For you shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth. Now these are talking about the children of Israel that would not obey God. An oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water. Isaiah 58:11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy. Now here's people who believe him. Thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt, oh my, thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Now the choice, isn't it amazing? From the same prophet of God comes absolutely contrasting scenes of a garden which is all dried up, a garden which has no life in it, a garden which is barely even holding on to the resemblance of being a garden, and then here's another garden which has life and fruit and faithfulness and fruitfulness. What is it? Obedience to his word. Notice again Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 12. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. So we can see that people can be likened to a garden. You believe that? So people can be likened to a garden. Now this is the direction I want to go. That Satan also is a gardener. He's a gardener. But he can't create his own garden like God could. So he has to steal one. Amen. Now this is where our hearts, our minds, we must keep our garden. Because the thief is looking for a place to sow his seed. Notice in Matthew 13:37. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed is the scriptures and the quotes and... The good seed are the children. Seed are kids, and kids are seed. Praise the Lord. This is not debatable. This is from the man himself. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Oh. So we see two different gardeners that have sown two different types of children. And both of them had to have a place to sow them. Where did they sow them? The Garden of Eden. So God sowed his first seed son in spirit form in the Garden of Eden, and formed him in this duplex type of image, in that he was male and female. And God sowed his seed son in the garden, and then he took out of his side another garden, which was a woman, by which he was supposed to sow his seed in order to expand the kingdom of God. So before he ever got to that garden, the other gardener that he was told to watch beat him to the garden. Glory to God. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Brother Donnie, I didn't know the devil had kids. He's got a bunch of children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. So Satan uses a familiar face in the Garden of Eden to access the womb man. A familiar face, not a scary one now, not one that will run her off and she'd be terrified, but he uses a familiar face, the one that was Adam's right-hand man to fellowship. He mirrored what happened in heaven. Now, so to try to get to the garden, the womb man. So by marring the bedding ground, every seed that would come out of the bedding ground would be tainted by the poison that was sowed in the bedding ground. Listen, it's like fallout. Those of you remember years ago, whenever in Russia, that they had this great nuclear thing there. I seen a video of it just a while back, where they're sending people in still, and they check the fish, they check the trees, they check the dirt, they check the air, they check all of those things, and it's there still in this great presence that is still there. This radioactivity, people can't live there, they cannot grow things and eat out of it, because the ground itself has been so contaminated by this radioactivity, they force people to leave. So you've got gigantic buildings and motels and apartments and all kinds of things that are still there, but it is not a safe place to live. Because the ground and the things around us still holds the contamination, Satan knew he would not have to get every woman that come on the earth. He wouldn't have to get every man that would come on the earth. Just get the bedding ground initially, and the bedding ground would be contaminated for thousands of years. Then every seed that comes out of the bedding ground is marred. Can't you see why God had to get another bedding ground? A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. What was it? A different bedding ground that did not have the radioactivity of sin that God knew would have to be separated from the things of the world. Notice, so it lays down the contamination. Watch the prophet. He says this in the power of transformation. And that seed will take a hold somewhere. Glory to God. The only thing he's looking for today is a bedding ground. Somewhere that it can bed. It'll start in somebody and they'll pervert it. Now notice, he's looking for a bedding ground by which the seed can be able to start. Oh, children, how many have we had around our own move that the seed of the message of the hour starts sowing in a preacher's heart or a layperson's heart, and they'll grab a hold of that seed, and before long they pervert that very thing that delivered them out of the sin and the denomination and the bondage that they were in, and they start perverting it. Why? Their bedding ground has never been totally reborn. They're still contaminated with the touch of sin. Oh, no wonder we've got to be born again. Then when God quickens that from the bedding ground of a rejuvenated heart, out of there can only produce Christ the Word. Notice he says it'll start in somebody and they'll pervert it and spray it like he did Eve. It started in Eve for her to bed forth and bring forth sons of God. You know, the prophet of God said that Christ, that Eve saw Christ in the Garden of Eden. He said she should have brought forth Christ. Spoken words of reason. See, she should have given birth to Jeremiah. She should have been my mother. But after the bedding ground was marred, God would not speak his spoken word attributes in a contaminated bedding ground. So what did he allow? He allowed those attributes then to come to the earth. And he knew that they would come this way, but he would not speak them, but they would come by sexual desire. But it still would not override the divine program of God. God's going to have his way, whether you like it or not. Notice this, he says, not sons of Satan, but she was a bedding ground. What is the woman then? She is a garden. And now Solomon, as he speaks to the Shulamite, he says to her, you are my garden, my sister, my spouse. Oh, how the Lord Jesus wants to pull you and I up in his arms and say, you are my garden. You are my sister. You are my spouse. Let me bring forth through you. Glory to God. Let me live my life through you. Let people in this age know I'm still alive. Let them see a Jesus with skin on him. Notice he says, so will the word fall in an unbeliever. Listen to this. The word will fall in an unbeliever or a doubter or a skeptic. It'll make a church member out of them. So the word will actually fall in them. In a doubter, a skeptic, an unbeliever. And when that word falls in that kind of a bedding ground, they're not converted now. When the word falls in that bedding ground, what does it do? It changes them. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to join the church. I'm going to Happy Valley. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be a better man. I'm going to strive to be a better man. I'm going to start checking out all kinds of self-help books. And I'm going to write down to Dallas. And I'm going to write over here to this book. And I'm going to listen to all these preachers tell me how to be a better person and how to strive to be a better man. You're wasting your time. You've got to be born again. So what do? The word will land on a bedding ground which has not received a new birth. And the word will actually make a change in their life and it'll turn them into a church member. Lord Jesus. Whew. Notice it. Not them, it. It'll make a church member out of them, but never a son or daughter of God. So the same word, one can fall right there in the heart of skeptic or an unbeliever, doubter. It'll transform them. My, it'll change them. Turn them right into a church member. Falls into the heart of the elect. Transforms them into a son or daughter of God. Very same pastor. Very same quotes. Very same scripture. What is it? The ground. The ground. Oh, praise God. You tell them to let your hair grow. They'll laugh in your face. You tell them to do this or that or the man to do it. They'll laugh in your face. It's not sons of God. It's the wrong bedding ground. Yet they're holding the seed. They're anointed, yes, with the Holy Spirit. Speak in tongues and do signs and wonders. But it's of Satan. Lord Jesus. Notice again, like Satan in the beginning, when he could come into the Garden of Eden, he could not dig up those seeds, he could not destroy them, but he sprayed them with poison. And it deformed the seed. It didn't bring forth this right kind. It deformed the original seed. Friend, he can't stop real men of God from preaching the truth. Why, the devil can't stop anointing men of God no more than he can stop the sun. Do you realize if I get sick and die and I go somewhere else, God will raise up another man here. And if that man gets old and dies, God will raise up another. You cannot stop the word from coming forth. Let people blast preachers. Let them do whatever they want to do. They might as well beat their head against that speaker. You ain't going to stop it. It's a program of God. So if Satan can't stop the word from being preached, the next thing is spray the people. So they hear it. I believe that. Yeah, that's the truth. Yeah. I know that's right. I know it. And then you get around them. That ain't for you. You've got all this past. You made all these mistakes. Look at what you've done. Why, he's nuts. Why, that preacher, there ain't no way in the world God expects anybody to live that way. And then in your mind, it gets all muddled up. Well, they're good Christians and they live like the world. They're good people and they do this, that, and other. What's he doing? He's trying to spray you with ecumenical spirit. Well, we're all going to heaven anyway. We're all this, that, the other. I'll tell you who's going to heaven. That's the elect of God. And the grace of God that'll fall down on whosoever will go. But even they've got something to do. So what's he doing? Spraying. He's around the message. He's spraying. Preacher's got a website. It ain't nothing but the devil spraying with quotes. Now listen. Not quotes that are wrong. Quotes that are misapplied. Quotes that are applied through a preacher that has been sprayed himself. Trying to put things... I hope you come to have church tonight. What is it? It ain't nothing but the devil. But a brother or sister, God is not spraying his with poison. He's giving them life. Life. So here comes up the serpent, real sly, polished sort of a fella. He says to Eve, has God said you'll not eat of every tree of the garden? Oh, God has said we shall eat of every tree of the garden except for the tree that's in the midst of the garden. And God said you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now he really pumps. You shall not surely die.
Think about it.
But God doth know in the day you eat thereof, you shall be as gods, knowing good from evil. And the spray lands right down on the seed. And it kind of muffles her thinking. And the voice of God, it's now hampered. And she no longer thinking quite the same and hearing quite the same because the poison. So the poison kind of addled her a little bit.
That's right.
And she's just, really? I hadn't quite thought of it that way. Y'all should be saying, hey, amen, we live in a world where people live like this. If they ain't that way, they're 5 minutes that way after they get up of a morning. They're that way at noon. You better pray before you go on a trip somewhere. You better pray before you go to the house to Walmart. They don't tell them how many drug addicts and dope heads you pass on the way coming and going. Friends, folks are not made to live in this kind of world. They're not made to live in this kind of world. You understand that the lid has come off the kettle. Demon powers have streamed in every direction. Not only with the loosing of the seals, but the loosing of demons. The only reason we can stay sane is because of the grace of God in this hour. People out here can't live in this world. Man was never intended to take the pressure that was made. And before long, it'll come a morning, hallelujah, when the Lord Jesus will say, no more. I don't want my bride left down here another day. I'm going to take her out of this place. Hallelujah. So he sprays him. He lands down on that precious seed word. And it contaminates the bedding ground. And the bedding ground now pulls in the chemicals. The chemicals out of the poison spray. Now it pulls it in the seed. Praise the Lord. You know, many, many years ago, our bald eagle in America, they was on the verge of them becoming extinct. Right? Why? DDT. Remember that? So what did they do? They banned it. And then when they did, then the eagle started repopulating again. The condor, which flies in the desert southwest, in the Grand Canyon. 72 of them left, maybe something like that. So they found that there was something killing them. Wondered what in the world it was. You know what they found out it was? They found it was the parents that was eating animals which had been shot with lead shot. Men that was hunting and they'd leave the carcass there or couldn't find the carcass. And the lead out of the bullet would leach into the meat. And the parents, whether male or female, would go out and tear that carcass and they would take it right back to their nest and feed their children. What was they feeding them? Lead poisoning. So even now, to keep the population alive, every one of them are tagged and they have to check them very frequently in order to check the lead poisoning in the blood. Because the same mother and father that helped bring them children into the earth are the ones that's feeding them a carcass which is full of lead poisoning, which kills their own. Oh Lord, have mercy. Don't you see why preachers have to be so careful and what they feed the sheep of God? If not, they're feeding them nothing but lead poisoning and they're killing the very sheep they think they're saving. It's the same with you parents. Be careful what you put before your children. Though they constantly have to catch these condors over and over several times a year and check for lead poisoning in their body. And then when they find it, they give them a shot and reduce it. My, that's why we come to church, to get our shots. Brother, I got a big hypodermic needle tonight, about 4.5 feet long. Brother Joel, you ain't never used one this big, buddy. I mean, it's got all kinds of antidote. It's got vitamin A, vitamin B, vitamin C, vitamin D. God wants to get that poison out of your mind. He wants to get that poison out of your spirit. He wants to get that poison out of you so the word can grow. It can't grow as long as your bedding ground is contaminated with fear and unbelief. Notice an invisible union. Brother, I'm talking about the woman. Her body is given to her, a sacred trust from God. No female dog, no bird, no other animal, no other creature like that. No, she's the only one. By it, the reason it's so sacred, she is to bring forth life into the earth. Her body is the bedding grounds of life. Therefore, that's the reason she's to have this sacred trust. Now, where is it? You may disagree. Many of you theologians, that's what defiled the whole human race, is that adultery at the beginning. Her bedding ground was marred. Does not have to get a hold of every seed. Mar the bedding ground. That every seed that comes from that bedding ground is marred by association of the birth path. So it comes out of the womb, out of the garden, the woman, and it is tainted. Because a woman wants to. No, you mothers do not want to do that to your children. You have no choice. Eve done it for you. That's right. So what did God have to do in order to bring reconciliation? Provide another bedding ground. And not let it be a mixture of 23 chromosomes from God and 23 from Mary, but let every one of them be by creation of the Word. And all this bedding ground is going to be, amen, is a place by which the Word will grow. Don't you see your own self in that imagery of Mary? Mary was not God, no more than your God, but the Son of God, Christ the Word, lived inside her body. It's the same thing with you and I. We are still human. We still have our faults and our flaws and our failures. But God wants a Mary soul, something inside of us that will be a bedding ground, which is not contaminated, so the seed can become quicken and bring forth Christ of this age. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. Notice this, her bedding ground was marred. She brought forth those twins. So the serpent got to her that morning and Adam that afternoon. Two seeds, same ground. Come time to be born, Cain was born first, and then Abel. Cain, acquisition. I have gotten a man from the Lord. Then she gave birth to Abel, which means worthless. Vanishing, of no value. She was so deceived. The bedding ground. She thought this was a man, actually the Lord. You look at the translation, I have gotten a man with the Lord. She felt like she had been with God. So she looked at Abel and said, you are worthless. You are no good at all. My, you folks are quiet tonight. You are no good. You are worthless. Right here is the man I got from God. And he was a murderer. Serpent seed. Oh my goodness. You know, there's a great bird that lives in the wild, and actually she will give birth to two. Most always two. She'll give birth to one, and then she'll wait for about a week or so, and then give birth to another. Big, quite large bird out of Africa. Whenever she gives birth to that one, then she'll start feeding. Now, she'll go out and make a kill. She'll bring the food in. And the one that has the jump start, he's getting a little bit stronger and a little bit stronger. As he does, he cheats the other, and he won't let the other one eat. So he gets stronger and stronger, and eventually he will turn on him. He will turn on him and he will kill him. He will kill his own sibling and pick him up and leave him laying there, and the mother will stand right there and watch him do it. Because the only reason she laid that other egg was insurance. Just in case the first one don't live, she's got a second one. But since the first one is growing, she allows that first one to kill the second one. Well, it's the same way with you and I. God allowed us to be born right here, the first one. But God gave birth by his own desire to the second you, the real you. But God ain't going to stand by and watch the first you kill the real you. Amen. But God's going to watch over his little eagles. And when that first one raises up, I'll tell you one thing out of this. God says, shut up, Cain. Donnie, preach on him. Donnie, bust that high. Donnie, tear it up. Brother Horn, tear it up. Why? Because God is watching over his offspring. If my second born would have been my firstborn, and my firstborn would have been my secondborn, my problems would have been so minimal. But God allowed my firstborn to be that of a carnal nature, and my second born to be the divine nature of God. And they war, and they struggle, and they fuss, and they fight, and they argue. But firstborn, let me say to you, the second born is going to be king, and you're going to have to bow to the second born. Her bedding ground was marred. She brought forth those twins, Cain and Abel. One act, two children. Search the scriptures. One act, two children. I don't want to blow you away too far, just out to Jupiter maybe. It's the same with you. People doing their best would only be able to trace you back as far as natural genealogy to one act between a mother and father. But there were two children. Because before your mom ever gave birth to you, she started getting real sweet. Your angel started hanging around her. One act. Two children. Oh my. Notice he said we find God sowed his seed in the Garden of Eden. We find that it brought forth unable. God sowed his seed in the Garden of Eden and it brought forth unable. God sowed his seed in the Garden of Eden? How did God do that? God used the Son of God, Adam. Now, it did not come through sex desire, but it was associated to be in the Garden of Eden. Abel could have been the pastor of this church if God wanted him to be. I could have been the second born in the Garden of Eden if God would have wanted it to be. God had all the attributes lined out and he dispersed them in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. So it wouldn't matter where Moses was here or Moses was back yonder thousands of years ago, or whether I was here, I would have been Moses. Sure, I could have been Moses. I could have walked down and let my people go. But that wasn't God's thought about me. You could have lived in the days of Noah and been one of the sons of Noah, or one of the grandsons or whatever more of Methuselah. You could have lived in whatever age. It wouldn't have mattered because you come from the same place and you're going back to the same place that you come from. But God knew how to dispense it and disperse it. So God sowed his seed in the Garden of Eden. We find that and brought forth unable. And when Satan sowed his seed of discrepancy, it brought forth a Cain. One brought forth a righteous one. What? Righteous after the fall? Righteous after the fall? One brought forth a righteous one, one brought forth an unrighteous one, because that Eve listened to the word of discrepancy contrary to the word of God. What did he do? Sprayed her with the poison. Can I go on a little farther? They both came forth from the same garden mother. So the serpent sowed his seed that morning. Adam sowed his seed that afternoon. Where? In the same garden mother. Just different gardeners. Remember Brother Branham, whenever he saw the vision, he was in the cave praying and trying to understand about the gifts and people being anointed and that's false. And he saw a man coming forth in white, sowing seeds on the earth. Then he saw a guy coming up behind him, sneaking around. He was sowing seeds. And the rain come. And them seeds come up and both of them said, "Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!" Then the vision was interpreted. Hebrews 6. The rain falleth oft as it comes to water the earth. And the rain falls on the just and the unjust. So here is the garden, which is the earth. Both seeds come forth. Both seeds need water. And God don't just pick and send out. Tell what I want you to do, rain. Beginning this summer, we're going to only water tomatoes, peas, green beans, cantaloupes, watermelons, cherries, peaches, apples, apricots. Water no nettles, no goldenrods. Leave out all briars, thorns, and thistles. Leave out everything that causes hay fever. Boy, some of y'all be shouting right now, wouldn't you? Everything that causes sinus trouble and all that, don't water none of it. I'm going to let every bit of it die. God waters every bit of it. So the rain cloud will come over. Man, it'll come down in there. The little apple tree, hallelujah, hallelujah. The little nettle will say, hallelujah, hallelujah. Why? It's in the same garden. Don't you understand yourself? Don't you understand yourself? When you are born again, you have that seed word, pure, genuine, lovely, holy. But because you are a garden and your body has still been sprayed with mortality, out of your body, out of your spirit, out of your mind can come thoughts that are negative. Even thoughts that ain't even pure. Thoughts that ain't even godly and holy. And you say, "Lord Jesus, how in the world did that get there?" I'll tell you how it got there. The gardener sowed it in there. The devil. Why? He still has access to the garden. Oh my, can I go just a bit further? So different gardeners planted them. Satan's tare killed God's wheat. Now, by doing this, he sets in motion the cycle of the resurrection. Abel was lifted from the realm of mortality in the sense of living a life. He lived and begat children and he died. He lived and begat children and he died. He lived and begat children and he died. He's now broken from that pattern of mortality into the very type of Christ, the resurrection. Friend, I have often wondered for the first 2 weeks after Jesus died at the cross and then when he raised up, I'd say the devil was so mad down in hell, nobody could live with him. Can you imagine? He was so aggravated and so mad, he just slammed the door off the hinges and everybody come down there, he'd bite their head off and I think, what in the world's wrong with him? But think of it. God used him. God used him to pull off the very redemption that you and I needed. If he would have known what was coming off at Calvary, there ain't no way in the world he'd have ever done it. But God blinded him and let him think he was destroying this when actually he was the very tool or instrumentality, amen, that was going to bring forth the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you imagine down in hell for the first 4 or 5 days. Well, really, I guess it's been going on for 2,000 years. He's still mad about it. He's still so fighting mad. I can't believe I let God trick me into that. I can't believe it. Oh, it brings trouble your way and difficulty your way, and it causes you to get down on your knees and pray and brings you closer to God. God does the same thing for you. Praise be to God. Let's read another scripture. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the word Naboth means fruits, that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Now that means it was right by it, hard by it, right against it. Now this was Naboth's inheritance. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy garden or vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs. Now watch, he wants his possession and he wants to change the seed line. This apparently was a good place to grow grapes, which produce wine, which produced stimulation of revelation. But he wants to start a pyramid with herbs. Oh my, I had to say that. He wants to totally change this place. Now we know that that grapes are very picky. And grapes have to have a certain type of acidic level in the soil, and they have to have a, you know, pH and phosphorus and all this sort of thing in order to really be able to make it. That's why you see them only in certain places. And apparently this was a real good place in Naboth's inheritance to be able to produce the outcome of spiritual revelation. And wouldn't you know it, here comes a message preacher, here comes Ahab, and he's trying to steal away from Naboth his personal inheritance that God gave to this man called Fruits. So this man called Fruits was a fruitful man by his name, but also fruitful in his nature by the works that he did, because this was a garden that made the king jealous. Well, I'll tell you one thing, friends, y'all ought to be shouting tonight, because you realize the king of this cosmos is jealous of your garden. He wants your inheritance. He don't like it because you've got peace. He don't like it because you've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. So what's he saying? Give me your peace. Give me your joy. Give me your garden. You need to stand up like Naboth and say, this is my inheritance. It ain't right for me to give you my garden. It belongs to me. So Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it. That's a bold devil, ain't it? For a garden of herbs. Because, now this is his reasoning, give up your rights, give up your inheritance. Your family's owned this for hundreds of years. In the original settling of the children of Israel, this was promised to your allotment. They could never sell it. They could only be able to exchange it among that lineage. If it was the land of Judah, it was the land of Judah forever, supposed to be. But Naboth and Ahab were from different tribes, so their inheritance wasn't in the same place. Bride and foolish virgin are from different tribes. There are different people under different covenants. They're not heirs together in the rapture. That's a quote. It is near because it is near unto my house. And I will give... I'll give you something better. Now look at this word better. Tob, good, pleasant, agreeable. You know what's amazing is? It's the same word in Genesis 3:6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good, the word good in the Hebrew is tob. So Ahab says to Naboth, I will give you something pleasant and better. It's much better than this. Well, look at this. It's ground, got rocks in it. And what if it's got rocks? Why you want to make an herb garden out of it for? If it ain't no good and it ain't no count, just leave me alone. I'm happy where I am. Just leave me alone. I will give you a better, better. Boy, you better watch the devil. And he goes to using that term. Better vineyard than it. Or if it seemed good to thee. Oh, I will give the worth of it in money. There's most people's God anyway. Money, money. Why are y'all sitting here looking at me like I don't know what I'm talking about? Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my apostolic fathers." Brother Donnie, why do you have to keep going that way? Because it's my inheritance. God forbid that I would give up the inheritance that Peter planted for us. God forbid, Brother Lay, we'd give up what Paul and Aurelius and Martin and Luther, much less our Elijah, coming to this day. I am not giving it up for a bunch of message people that think all you got to do is play a tape every now and then you're born again. Oh yeah, friend, you ought to hear it as how it's been said in this day, that the tapes are the token. Said just a few weeks ago, the tapes are the token by one of the premier leaders of the message, supposedly. The tapes are the token. Hogwash! Nonsense! The token is the life of Jesus Christ. You can't play a tape and get the token, oh my, just by playing a tape. You've got to be born again! I will not give up our inheritance as a new birth. I will not give up our young people that are sitting here. They've got a right to feel the power of God. Your children has a right to be born again. Our children has a right. Our grandchildren has a right. I will not give up our garden. We will not give up our inheritance. And Happy Valley Church said unto the devil, "The Lord forbid it me that I would give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It is our right to have the Holy Ghost. It is the right of our children, the right of our grandchildren to be born again and have the same experience that Peter had on the day of Pentecost. Well, all you got to do is just accept the prophet. God sent a prophet. Every devil in hell is saved then. You got to be born again. But where are we getting these ideas? We're getting them from fields that have been corrupted. Fields that have been corrupted and taking quotes and trying to twist it around this way and that way. Oh, I know, friends. I know. We don't like dealing with this, but it's got to be dealt with. That poison is a lot closer than the Baptist. That poison is a lot closer than out yonder. It's right among us. It's right in our own ranks trying to spray us. Oh, you don't need to go to church. You don't need this, that, and the other. Oh, my. I'll tell you one thing. I believe we ought to stand for the Word of God like never before. And I don't mind telling you, friend, as long as I'm here as your pastor, I refuse to give up our vineyard. I refuse to give up our inheritance, Brother Terry. God gave it to us by new birth. Amen. The apostles, the prophet of God himself, labored too hard for us to come to the end time and us just give it up, Brother Amos. I refuse. I refuse. This is our garden. This is our garden. Amen. In this garden, our children can be born again. In this garden, our bodies can be healed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, don't you love him? How many wants your garden heart to be one acceptable to the Lord Jesus? That the Lord Jesus can say to you, "I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse." And maybe we can say back to him, "Lord, let me gather in your secret place. Have your way. There, Lord, I'm not afraid. There, I'm not terrified. Gather, Miss Lord. We will make our stand." Praise God. Have your way in my heart, O Lord. Have your way. Praise God.
Amen. If Satan has sprayed you with some unbelief, won't you let the Holy Ghost come in tonight and do a spiritual detox? You say as well as I do, sometimes in gas stations, go to changing out around here with the EPA requirements. They come in and they check the tanks and they find there's been leakage down there and the gas has leaked and the diesel and whatever more. You just can't do like you did 15, 20 years ago, 30, 40 years ago. You got to get people like Brother Charles back there that comes in there and studied all these things and know how it works. You got to take out this much dirt. You got to do this. You got to do whatever it is that they do. Why? Because it's leaking out into the ground. Break into the water table. It'll contaminate it. All that going on underground and nobody ever sees it. Been going on for years. Oh, children, the seed, you believe we have the truth, don't you? We believe we have the seed. We have the word. Why isn't the productivity coming out of our lives many times? I believe it's because of that spray that's been leaching in our lives for years and years. Maybe a distrust, a hard feeling against this one or that one, and that old poison root of bitterness just leaching down into there and paralyzing that seed. Oh, my. May the great gardener come by our way tonight. Praise God. May He be able to detox us. Take all that radioactivity out of our lives and change that ground back to virgin ground. Oh, praise God. Can we sing this song together? It was singing when we came out. Listen to the words carefully. Look at this first verse. The yearning deep within me reaches out to you. Your oil of joy for mourning soaks me, makes me new. This yearning deep within me, it reaches out to you. Your oil of joy for mourning soaks me, makes me new. And I will go to your secret place, bow my knee to your glorious throne. Have your way in my heart, oh Lord. Have your way. I will go to your secret place, and I will go to your secret place, bow my knee to your glorious throne. Have your way in my heart, oh Lord. Have your way. I need you, Holy Spirit. I need you, Holy Spirit. Be the fire to our soul. Lord God, consume my total being. Yes, Lord God. Lord Jesus, take control. And I will go to your secret place, bow my knee to your glorious throne. Have your way in my heart, oh Lord. Have your way. Everybody now, let's meet it. Oh, and I will go to your secret place. Bow my knee. Yes, Lord God. May you detox us tonight, Lord. May you take Satan's poison out of our spirit, out of our minds, out of our soul, Lord God. May our ground be fertile. May our ground be sown that it can grow the Word of God. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Spray it with your vitamins, Lord. Spray it with your nutrients of the message of the hour. Have your way, Lord, in my heart, Lord.
sing the first verse. This yearning deep within me, it reaches out to you. You're all of joy for mourning. You make us cry sometimes, but it soaks me and makes me new. And I will go to your secret place, bow my knee. Amen. Glorious home, have your way in my heart, oh Lord, have your way. Amen. Oh, and I will go to your secret place, bow my knee to your glorious throne, have your way in my heart, oh Lord, have your way, have your way. And I will go to that sea, holy of holies, I'll bow my knee before your glorious throne, have your way in my heart, oh Lord, have your way, have your way. And I will go to that. Can we just close our eyes now? Let's pass the brazen laver. We'll go past the table of shewbread. The curtains are open before us. We walk in behind the holiest of holies, and the veil is dropped behind us. We sense this awesome presence, but we hear His voice beckoning us. Come, children. Come, children. I will meet you in there. Praise God. Praise God. Don't be afraid. It's Him who invites you. He won't slay you. You have the invitation in your heart. Oh, and I will go to your secret place, bow my knee to your glorious throne, have your way in my heart, oh Lord, have your way. Oh, and I will go to that secret place, bow my knee.
I need you, Holy Spirit. You're the fire of my soul. Consume my total being. Jesus, take control. I need to your glorious Lord. Have your way.
Amen.
In my heart,
oh Lord, have your way.
Let's sing it, children.
Oh glory.
And I will go to your secret place. Bow my knee.
The voice of God has awoken us in this evening time. The light of the seventh angel's message has called to this little bride. We're fixing to go to that heavenly place. Bow our knee to your majestic throne. Have your way in that kingdom, dear Lord. Have your way. Oh, soon we will go in our body chains. In a moment, oh, our cells will be rearranged. We'll be new by the power of God. Have your way. Oh, we will go in a rapture, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, by the power of the resurrection. Bodies are gonna fly. We will see our blessed King on high. Have your way. Hallelujah. The angels will bow their heads down, and they will circle the earth as we sing songs of redemption. Glory to God. That they don't know because they've never heard. And there we will be while the ages roll, never to leave your side, never mourn with you our King. For eternity, oh our God. Oh, soon we will leave this so cursed place. By your power, we become a part of that new race. We've been resurrected by your love, oh Lord. We worship you. Oh, can we love him tonight, saints? Oh, soon we will.
by your side, there we will be. Lord, we'll never be tired, there will be no sickness or pride, there will be in eternity, Lord, where we were. Oh, glory. And I will go to your secret place, bow my knees to your glorious throne. Have your way in my heart, oh Lord. Have your way. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of God. My soul doth magnify the Lord. For the Almighty smiled upon his handmaidens, his sons and his daughters, that we would be the carriers of his seed life. He has departed to us his divine nature, that we would no longer be poisoned by Satan's spray, but breathed upon by the mighty Elohim. Hallelujah! We who were in darkness have now been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. We who bore the image of the first Adam, we stand tonight immersed, engrafted, impregnated with the image of the invisible God. For that image penetrates down into our soul, reflects up through our spirit, brings our body into obedience to that word, but divine nature which the Almighty has deposited within us. For it was him who called us. It was him who loved us before we even knew of him. It was him who gave us his grace and favor. It was him who called us, not us. It was not us that desired to serve him, but him who called us to himself. It was not us who thought we were so good. It was not us who had the power. It was him who imparted us the ability to become sons of God. Hallelujah, 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 great Adonai. We bless your name tonight, Lord Jesus. We worship you, O God. We worship you, O God, Most High. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I wish somebody would help me love the Lord Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah. It is him who has given you divine favor. It is him who has called you to himself and separated you as a garden in this last day when all minds are polluted, when all minds are poisoned, yet he has set you apart to himself. You are his peculiar treasure. You are his called, his chosen. It is him who has set you apart for his own seed life. Run unto him that he may fill you with his life and the very virtue of his nature by which he has called you to be his own. Oh, glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord Jesus, we worship you. Lord Jesus, praise your holy name, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God. I need you, Holy Spirit. Fire to my soul, consume my total being. Lord Jesus, take control, and I will go to your secret place, bow my knee to your glory. Have your way in my heart, oh Lord. Have your way. Let's sing it again before we go. Oh, and I will go to your secret place, bow my knees. have your way. God bless you, saints. See you in the morning. We'll go.